You have just tuned in to A Spirited Exchange Radio with me, Carrie Kadambi, for Evolution of the Modern Mind. Are you ready to awaken to your divine and true potential? We bring you inspirational stories and valuable resources to educate and motivate inspired changemakers. Gain tools and insights to transform limiting beliefs. Connect with your divine wisdom for an inspired and purposeful life of love in action. Here we go. A Spirited Exchange Radio starts now. Welcome. Welcome everyone out there in listener land. I'm Carrie Kadambi, and you're listening to A Spirited Exchange on Transformation Talk Radio. Each second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on A Spirited Exchange, I bring you inspiring guests, engaging in stimulating and mind-opening discussions, helping you to awaken, heal, and reveal your highest purpose. Stay with us for the next hour for an engaging conversation about human design as a path to wellness. Today's guest is Dia Welland, a change agent, analyst, and a living your design guide. And in this episode, Dia will talk about the human design system, what it is, and how it can help us to better understand ourselves, find inner strength and clarity, and live an authentic life. Human design is a fascinating method of self-discovery that provides a visual roadmap to understanding our true nature, because only when we are in alignment with our inherent nature and capabilities are we the happiest and most successful. Let's welcome Dia Welland to A Spirited Exchange. Hello, Dia.
Hi, Carrie. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for being with us today. I can't wait for our listeners to learn about this really amazing system that can be so helpful. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to start by sharing a beautiful quote by the founder of the human design system, Ra Uruhu. And this comes from the definitive book of human design, The Science of Differentiation. And I just thought it was really a beautiful kind of explanation of what human design is. So here it is. The human design system is not a belief system. It does not require you to believe in anything. It is neither stories nor philosophy. It's a concrete map to the nature of being, a mapping of your genetic code. And this ability to be able to detail the mechanics of our nature in such depth is obviously profound because it reveals our complete nature in all its subtleties. Human design opens the door to the potential of self-love, a love of life, and a love of others through understanding. It's like, wow, I love all that love.
Love all that love, absolutely.
So Dia, you've been working with human design both just for yourself as well as being a teacher of living your design for a number of years. So I would love to hear what drew you to this amazing system and kind of what's kept you engaged with it, like what really sparked you about it. Can you tell me a little bit about how you came to human design?
I was introduced to it through a random interaction. As oftentimes, I'm sure you know, we bump into the most important thing that is going to really shift things at the right time. Mm-hmm. And that was back in 2005. And for the first few years, I kind of dabbled in it and was really curious about it because there were things that when I first saw the body graph, I recognized instantly as like this updated version of the human being that we are. It's like, oh my God, that actually makes sense. And so, but I was busy doing other things and didn't really, you know, get into it fully. And then I realized that this was actually a really, really good tool for me to use for my coaching work. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing that. And then I was like, I actually need to learn a bit more here. So I'd attended a few Living Your Design workshops with a friend of mine in New Zealand. And it just kind of blossomed from there. I did all the foundation courses. And then in 2016, I began the analyst training. And for me personally, it's helped me to understand how I've been so incredibly misunderstood most of my life. You know, I'm a pure individual. with what we call a whole lot of dormant potentials in the tribal system, the tribal circuitry, and which means that I can get really fired up in the emotional world and be taken just offline. So what human design does is it's helped me to understand my openness and where it is that I interact with others. And so with that, it's going, oh my goodness me, I am actually an individual. I've got all of these different unique strengths. And here's an absolute like diagram of how I easily get moved away from myself. And so that's just helped me to, yeah, really fall in love with myself over and over again.
Yeah, it sounds like it gives us the ability to really understand how we process, how we receive, how to understand, like, when people interact with us, if it doesn't land right, like why it is, and maybe how we can work in a different way. But I think by really understanding ourselves for who we are, we can better love ourselves, because we'll be less judgmental, because we'll go, oh, well, no wonder, because I'm wired this way. I don't know if that's the language you would use, but you know, how beautiful is that? And, you know, just to understand ourselves, but then if we can also have other people that we're working with, you know, do their diagrams, then we can understand how they work and how we can best work with them. And that seems like it would make life run a lot more smoothly.
Absolutely. When I did my study in astrology for a long time, I was, you know, Aquarius rising with Aquarius sun, and my moon's in Pisces. So I used to call myself an emotional airhead. And then when I came across human design, I looked at the body graph and I'm like, I know this is me. It so resonates. But I've got a defined head in Ajna. Pardon me. And I was like, oh my God, I actually have a consistent and reliable way of making sense of information.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me deeper.
So you changed out of that. You don't define yourself as, what did you say, something airhead?
Emotional airhead.
Yeah. It's like, no.
But human design helped me to understand how I could be so emotional. So in human design, we've got a solar plexus center. Mm-hmm. And 50% of the population are open and 50% are defined. And what this means is that the 50% who are defined have got this consistent and reliable way of making sense of their emotional center. Mm-hmm. But the rest of us, me being the rest of them because I'm open, we come along into the emotional arena and we amplify it. So we receive all of that emotionality and then we amplify it out. And so those of us who are open solar plexus often believe and experience life as being really emotional. But we're actually here to be cool and almost detached and come from what Genoa Bliven talks about, and my teacher Jakub as well. They talk about this voice of truth within, and to anchor that into, you know, who we truly are and come to our authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not be an emotional airhead.
So what would you say, what difference has human design made in your life, besides just your having a different perspective on that, what we were talking about? Do you have a story you can share about something that it has changed for you through this understanding?
Yeah, I've known about myself that I'm incredibly sensitive to frequency and sound. And for years, I gave myself a really hard time about when I would go to a cafe with friends or dinner out or something like that, or interact, you know, out at parties or whatever. I'd always kind of like go hide in the kitchen, and I always found sound really, really difficult. And if I ate out in public, I'd often get a really upset tummy. And when I went into the deeper layers of my body graph, my human design body graph, I found in there that I was actually what's called a low sound. And so I'm highly sensitive to sound and frequency. And what happened when I found out about this, I was like, oh my God, this is actually truly the gift that I've known it to be. But I've never had it recognized. I've never had it acknowledged from an external source. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, you know, a thousand moments came crumbling in or literally falling down where I had given myself a hard time or felt misconstrued or felt misunderstood or being shamed mm-hmm. or blamed, you know, like all of those, you know, being in the partaker of games. It's like, so all of that kind of just like fell away. And I was like, this is me. Kind of like in that movie, The Greatest Showman, where all the freaks get up there and they go, this is me. Right. That's what human design has given me. Mm-hmm. You know, that real ability to stand strong and go, this is me.
And so you were able to find it. Oh, I was going to say, you were able to find a change in how to approach those types of events differently.
Yeah, exactly. So what I started doing is that if I was invited out for dinner, I'd eat at home and then go have a glass of wine mm-hmm. or dessert or a hot chocolate or something like that. So I could still actually go out. Or my friends, when they found out that, oh my God, Dia actually is really sensitive and this is actually in her body graph and we do have to now pay attention to it. Okay, yeah. We got it, Dia. then they'd be like, they'd go off and they'd search and Google for really quiet restaurants. Mm-hmm. Or meet me, you know, before peak hour so that, or when we go to a bar or something in Auckland, we'd find a place that was really a nice, quiet posse where the acoustics weren't too shattering. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's, you know, like this real honoring of the individual, still being really part of the tribe mm-hmm. in the collective. And so all of it is able to really come into play. And especially that honoring of the individual.
That is so beautiful because, you know, we all want to, you mentioned like the honoring, but to me, I look at it, it's like, what love they have shown for you, you know, in honoring you and making things work so that you can still be part of the tribe. And it's like, wow, imagine if everyone could do that for everyone else in the world, mm-hmm. what an incredible place this would be, you know, everyone mm-hmm. honoring everyone else as well mm-hmm. as honoring self, right? Because it like, I feel like a lot of it has to start at home to honor Absolutely. Ourselves, right?
Yeah. We got to honor ourselves. We have to love ourselves mm-hmm. and really stand in that availability to be in complete presence with me or you. But if I don't do it with me, then I'm not going to receive it from you. So yeah. Even if we go, yeah, I want everybody to love me. If we don't fully lock into that, then how can we receive it from the other?
Yes. Yeah. For a long time, I've believed that we have to love ourselves because we can only love another to the degree that we love ourselves. Mm-hmm. And and human design allows us to do this to a greater extent.
It's an incredible roadmap. It really is. And there's so many layers. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about what you've given an example for yourself of how human design has helped you. Mm-hmm. How about when you've worked with clients, are there any stories you'd like to share about how human design has made a difference in their lives once they know how to understand and work with their design?
Yeah. I've got tons, but the one that's kind of popping up at the moment is actually working with a client and her two children. And so she's got these two kids and she's like, you know, one of them, I feel he just sparks me. I just get so angry. I go, I don't want to be a mother anymore. I can't deal with it. He doesn't listen to anything I say. Whereas my other child, oh my God, he is like placid. He is easygoing. He's totally relaxed all the time. He has meltdowns, but you know, every kid's different. My first child. So we got the birth times and we ran the charts. And the first child is a projector. And he's what's called a self-projected projector. And he needs to be invited, not told what to do. And neither of the children actually need to be told what to do. So the first one needs to be invited. The second one needs to be asked yes, no questions. Do you want to? Would you like to? You know, to really engage that sacral center. And when she looked at the two charts and then she looked at hers, she could see how she's this very emotional being with this grounded energy. And her sun is defined head, ajna, throat, and what's called the G center. And that's it. He's completely open everywhere else. So he would take in all of her emotionality and explode it out.
Oh my goodness.
And she's like, wow. Oh my God. And so she's totally worked with how she's working with her kids, and it's all shifted.
My goodness. What a beautiful thing to start that when the kids are younger and, you know, they can learn how to use that in relationships, understanding themselves and just making a more peaceful home, because you know, I have two kids as well who are now grown, but yeah, there were times I wish I would have known this 20 years ago or more. It would have made a big difference.
Exactly. And I mean, I know people who have got manifested children, and manifestors need information. Whereas generator kids, you know, we need our life force and our creativity honored. And so it's like, it's working with the kids so that they're not so misunderstood as well. And then when they go to school, they know their own individual nature. They know their own true self, and they can then begin to go, oh, okay, this is really cool. I get to interact with my friends in this particular way.
And I imagine they would have greater self-confidence because they would understand why some things are easier and why some things are different, and you know, have less self-judgment. That's just that's incredible. What a great way to start. Well, I would love for us to talk more about what human design is, but we're going to take a short break. So I want to let everyone know you're listening to A Spirited Exchange with me, host Carrie Kadambi, and today's guest, Dia Welland. When we come back, we're going to dive deeper into what human design is and how it can be used to better understand ourselves and others. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Carrie Kadambi, and this is your Spirited Exchange moment. Have you been searching everywhere for answers? Do you long for wise guidance to lovingly direct you? Guess what? You have your very own divine spirit guides in the highest light, available 24/7, just waiting to help you live your best life. Call in your spirit guidance on a daily basis to help you make important decisions. All you have to do is ask. With a sense of openness, curiosity, and willingness to be divinely guided. Throughout your day, be open to notice what shows up for you. A spoken phrase, a book, a message from a song, or simply a knowing. And always offer gratitude for that loving guidance, and don't forget to put it into action. Join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com. Hello, we're back on A Spirited Exchange with me, host Carrie Kadambi, and today's guest, Dia Welland. And in this episode, A Path to Wellness, we'll be talking about human design. Before break, Dia was sharing how she came upon human design and what drew her to this system and her personal experiences with it. But in a moment, we're going to dive deeper into what human design is and what it can do to help us live a happier and more authentic life. But before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact you. So Dia, could you please give us your contact information?
So the best way to contact me is right now through Facebook. LinkedIn is also really good. My full name, Dia Welland, D-I-Y-A-W-E-L-L-A-N-D. And if for anybody who's interested in knowing more about human design, go to the Human Design America website, which is Human Design America, all one word, .com. And there you'll be able to find a video about what I'm doing and any other information.
Great, thank you very much. So let's talk a little more about what human design is, how it works, and in what ways it can help people live their best life. So Dia, what is your shortest in a nutshell explanation of what human design is? Can you give that to me?
It's a path to awakening, to live from our authority.
Okay.
Short amount of words.
That's short. And short. Can you talk a little bit about how that works? Like, what does it come from?
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's a bit longer, Kerry. So the information was received by a guy by the name of Ra, and he spent 8 days basically just like gathering, seeing how all these like 5 different ancient systems and quantum physics and neuroscience and neutrinos all worked together to give us a imprint at the moment of our birth of a map of the difference between our soul, which is incarnating, and the design, which is earth-centric, terra firma. So we have this soul that's kind of come down and embodied into this physical being that we are. And the idea is the soul to actually completely surrender to the vehicle. And so when we look at a body graph, on either side, on one side there's black and on the other side there's red. And the black is the imprint of the personality soul, and then the red is the design. And so it works with our genetic inheritance and the way that we get to respond and interact with Earth. So a lot of astrology, which is also mapped very much in our design, works mainly heliocentric. So it works with the sun. It doesn't actually take into account that we are living here on planet Earth. And yet we have these ancient systems like the chakra system. We also have the Kabbalah. We have the I Ching. And so we have these different things, and of course astrology. And so we have all of these different things, and they're all layered in the actual body graph. And the way it works is that we get this neutrino imprint that comes through at these 2 different times, at the time of birth and also at the about 3 months before we are born, when our neocortex is formed enough for us to go, yep, body's ready for this particular experience. Soul, are you ready? Yep, soul's ready. And then they come in and they connect into the vehicle. And then 3 months approximately later, we're born.
Boy, that's an awful lot. And it's interesting that it uses these different ancient systems and kind of like interweaves them or layers them.
It's a layering. There is an interweaving. I always feel it in my being as a layering of the different system. So it's kind of like they all kind of come down, and then we create a 2-dimensional image of that particular layering. So when we look at the body graph, we see, you know, solar plexus on one side and spleen on the other, but it doesn't mean that the solar plexus is on the other side. It's actually it's a 2-dimensional image of a 3-dimensional, or I say 5-dimensional being. And so, you know, it kind of helps us to go, oh, okay, we have the spleen, which is all about the immune system, but that's actually all the different the immune system is throughout the whole body. It's not located to one little triangle on the left-hand side of the body graph.
And to me, that sounds like that comes from Chinese medicine, maybe, that's the I Ching piece of it.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard that, you know, a lot of people are aware of the chakras and the 7 energy centers in our body, but there's a belief, I understand, that, you know, humans are evolving, and are we moving from a 7 centered energy systems to a 9? Is that?
Certainly are. Yeah. So in about 1781, there was a mutation for humans. You know, we're always mutating, and this was a biggie. We got another biggie coming up. And so we've gone from having the spleen as our main awareness center for the first few thousand years to having the ajna, which is the third eye area, the neocortex, all about conceptualizing, forming opinions, ideas and insights, to that being our other awareness, our next awareness center. And then what happened is that we had the solar plexus and spleen was actually one chakra, and then that split apart. And it became two, and what's happening is that the solar plexus is now a potential awareness center. So I call it the new kid on the block. and so the solar plexus is all about feelings and emotions and moods and passions and desires. It's also intimacy and sensitivity and nervousness. And so when the idea is, as we talked about earlier, is that for those who are defined in the center to become very aware as to how that is working in each different interaction. And so when these two began, they split off, it became two separate centers or energy hubs. Mm-hmm. The other two that split off was the ego center and the G center. So we've got the heart, and it went into the higher self and what's often termed as the lower self, which to me is not lower at all. And so that's how we became from seven-centered into nine-centered. And so the G center is identity, love, direction. The ego center is the material world. It's all about self-worth, provision, value, willpower. And so for anybody who's got a defined ego center, which is 30% of the population, they get to say, yes, I will be there, or I will do something. And they've got the willpower to back them up, the willpower to move them through and get this done. Yes, you know, many days ago when people wanted to stop smoking, yes, I can stop smoking, I will do it. And then 70% of the population come along and they go, yeah, I'll do that, I can do that. And as soon as they walk away from their person who is defined ego, it all goes out the window. And as a girlfriend of mine likes to say, oh my God, no wonder there's so many flakes on the planet. And I'm like, oh man, you know, it's actually, I can see how you see that. And
exactly, yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, yeah, I can do that, I can do that. And the willpower is not there.
Right. Yeah. I can see that a lot in like when people take coursework or classes or, you know, something mindfulness practices, and they're all great mm-hmm. when they're in a group, but they step away from it and, you know, falls flat. So
that's right.
Explains it. And it's like, okay,
exactly.
Let's be a little more
compassionate. You're so flaky. And it's like, well, actually, yeah, I am. And that's okay. I've got my authority. I'm going to use my authority. You want to call me a flake? That's cool. You can call me a flake, you know. So, I mean, and I've heard that. I've had so many friends of mine many, many years ago call me flaky. And that's, you know, we're talking earlier about aspects of healing in human design. And so it's like, oh my God, I don't have a consistent and reliable way of having will. It doesn't mean that I don't have it. Of course I have it. We, as Jenna Oblivion always says, we have everything, you know, but we don't always have consistent and reliable ways of making sense of what we receive.
Hmm. So I'm wondering if maybe you can show us a body graph. So for those who are watching the video can have a visual mm-hmm. of this.
And I would love to.
That would be great. And then I don't know if you have something you want to explain when you're looking at that, or what's coming across my mind is you mentioned that in 1781, there was a shift in humanity from the seven energy centers to the nine energy centers. Mm-hmm. And like, what does that really mean on a global level with how humanity is different in the 200 some years since that happened? Like what, how are we different? What do we do different? So I know that's
wow.
a lot, but
that's a big question, Karen. And
okay.
My little brain just went into all sorts of different arenas. And okay. I was like, okay, can we have an extra hour, please? So can you see my cursor moving?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the spleen that we were talking about earlier. All right. Mm-hmm. So this is an image from Yakub and Human Design America. He's created this for my Live in Your Design course, his Live in Your Design course. And so you've got the spleen center here, which, as you can see, is actually all the way around. As I've mentioned, the Ajna is the downward pointing triangle up at the top, which is green in this image. And that is the second awareness center. And it is now, like the spleen, what's called a pure awareness center. Okay. Whereas the new kid on the block is the solar plexus. So the solar plexus and the spleen were one. Okay. And they're in the third chakra arena, just above the second chakra, which is what we now call the sacral center. Mm-hmm. And so they split apart to become the new awareness center. The Ajna, so if you can think about the last, say, 200 years, about 200 years, we've been in this major planning and organizing and systems oriented and working with, you know, so much conceptualization. Mm-hmm. People have had opinions and ideas and insights, right? So it's been really consistent. We've built all sorts of structures, universities and hospitals and governments, all these different things. And so we've moved away from the hunter-gatherer way of being. And so you could, you know, there's to go into all of that would take a lot longer than we've got. And I can feel part of me going, oh my God, there's so much I want to say.
Yeah, sorry, I opened up Pandora's box.
Yeah, total Pandora's box. I love it. And so what we have going on now is, as we're moving closer to what's called the cross of the sleeping phoenix and away from the cross of the planning, is we're moving into the wisdom of the solar plexus coming online as the new awareness center. And so this means that anybody who really uses their solar plexus as a form of interspecies communication or aura-to-aura communication, mm-hmm. That's the shift. And so, you know, and of course, everybody in this network, I'm sure, will know what it's like to be an empath or to have this total availability to being, psychic, you know, deep sensitivities. Well, this is the solar plexus moving into being online rather than the third eye. So we've gone from instinct and intuition to high, sensitivity with our psychic awareness and mm-hmm. our inner knowings mm-hmm. to now we're coming into very much a planet Earth way of communicating.
That's very interesting. I kind of, it makes me think about in Spiritism, how that came about. It was the kind of the mid 1800s, and it was a lot of what they called the table turning. And it was kind of when mediumship really first came about. So it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's been in that time period when people, you know, I'm sure some of this was around much earlier, but it really became more of a global event. So that's fascinating. Well, there's so much more I would like to hear you explain to us, but we're going to take a short break right now. So we'll be back on A Spirited Exchange with me, host Carrie Kadambi, and our guest today, Dia Welland. And we're talking about human design and how it can help you live a happier and more authentic life. So next, we're going to share how you can begin using it today to better understand yourself and others. We're going to take a quick break right now, and then we'll be back to talk about that. But before we take the quick break, Dia, can you please share your contact information again for our listeners?
Mm-hmm. Sure. DiaWelland.com. That's DiaWelland.com. And, or of course, Facebook and LinkedIn.
Great. Thank you very much. We'll be back in a moment. Is your mind running the show with thoughts bouncing around your cranium like a jet-propelled ping pong ball? You can't focus or relax. Quieting your mind is key to having a sense of inner peace and to being able to access your inner wisdom. So how can you quiet that racing mind? Just breathe. Sit with eyes closed and breathe in slowly, filling your lungs to capacity. Then gently and fully exhale. Repeat 10 or more times. I assure you, at the end of this exercise, your mind will have slowed and your body relaxed. You'll be better able to access your inner wisdom, guiding your personal evolution to becoming your highest and best self. I'm Carrie Kadombi, and I'd love for you to join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit my website, thedivineguidancegift.com. Hi, we're back on A Spirited Exchange with host Carrie Kadombi, myself, and guest Dia Welland. And today we're talking about what human design is and how it can help you live a happier and more authentic life. So now we're going to share how you can begin using it to better understand yourself and others. And but before we dive into this episode, I want to let you know how you can reach me and learn more about how I help clients unlock their full potential to live a fulfilling life on purpose. So you can check out my website, which is thedivineguidancegift.com, where you can sign up to work with me online in private sessions or in a group program. I'm also offering a free online series called Divine Spirit at Play for energy healing and co-creation with spirit. And you can find that on Eventbrite by searching for Divine Spirit at Play. All right, so let's talk now about how people can start using this amazing system of human design today. So how can our listeners use this system to better understand themselves and others? Dia, and maybe even before we get into that, if you want to talk about maybe some actionable steps that you'd like our listeners to walk away with today, and if there's something that you want our listeners to know about human design, what would you like to share with them?
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, there's so many different answers. And one of the things that comes to mind is when we look out for any practitioner and we find somebody who's got, you know, they're a massage therapist. And they're trained in relaxation massage or whatever. And we go to see them and we find out, oh, actually, yeah, they're good. They're lovely. They're sweet. They're kind. They're loving. But their technique is not so sort of ironed out. And they've had a 2-week course in relaxation massage rather than actual massage therapy. And we go, gosh darn, thank you. That was lovely. And then we go and find somebody who can really do the work that we need. Mm-hmm. Human design is a bit like that. You know, I've been in my, what we call the experiment, for 15 years, and I still feel like I'm a newbie. I've been in my analyst training for 4 years, and I still feel like I'm a newbie. And so my recommendation is that, you know, do your research, do your investigation. Find somebody who is a qualified analyst, not someone who's gone and done a Living Your Design course and then decided to be a coach and show their clients everything about human design because they've read a bunch of books.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, scary. And I find that in many modalities that people, you know, haven't taken the time to really dive deep and know it well. You know, I think about my massage training and for shiatsu massage, the inventor of our like kata had said, you know, really you should have like 1,000 bodies under your hands before you charge. At least that was back in the day. Like, so like to really know something.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very helpful suggestion. So if people are wanting to look for a qualified, certified analyst, where would they go?
There's two main places that they can go. They can go to the humandesignamerica.com website, and Jenna Bliven is the head teacher there. And you'll see in there, he's got some different analysts who he's worked with personally, trained and run through the grill. and the other one is the International Human Design School. And all certified analysts are in there. I'm in there, but I'm in there as a Living Your Design guide because I'm certified in that. Mm-hmm. And hopefully soon by the end of the year, I'll be certified as an analyst as well.
That's awesome. So, yeah. What is the website for that last one you mentioned?
International Human Design School, which I believe is under IHDS.com. Okay.
All right.
So Human Design America is where I'm working and my teacher, Yakub. And so there we have Living Your Design, which is a foundation entrance, which one does not need a foundation reading, but we highly recommend it because it's kind of like, you know, it's one thing to go visit a country, but if we don't have a personal map, which is tailored to the kind of likes and dislikes and things that we really enjoy, we're not going to be able to find resonance in that country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we won't get as much out of it.
We won't get as much out of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And yet I've also known people who have, you know, printed out their body graph from one of the free charts and they've gone in and they've gotten like what you did with the book of definitive book of human design and they've read up on it and they've absorbed and it totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. So some people, they're easy to make sense of things and they come into Living Your Design and yep, not a problem. They're able to be completely there with mm-hmm. their own map. But right. Others, they like to have a personalized map. They find that really useful. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So people can have a foundational reading by a qualified analyst. They mm-hmm. can also, there's a way that they can get their own design online. It's a free thing, right?
Yeah. It's a free chart. So in Human Design America, there's a place there you can go and you can get your free chart. And there's also, they give out a kind of like a brief overview as to what the centers are and what your type is, whether you're a generator, a projector, a manifestor or a reflector. And they'll give you your strategy, whether you wait or you're invited or whatever. And then they help you to understand your authority. And so the free, what is given free is an overview, but it doesn't go into the specific gates and how those specific defined aspects work with the incredible openness that's there. Mm-hmm. And that's what you get with working with an analyst, mm-hmm. is you get that interactive dance as to what is unique to you. And so if we think about our body graph, it's as unique as our own fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really specific. Nobody else has got a fingerprint like us, not even a twin.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all unique beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in the foundation, you know, there's the foundation reading and then there's relationship readings and transit. And I mean, there's all sorts of different things and it's a journey, you know, and the biggest thing is to surrender to the journey and know that whatever it is that you choose is perfect for you.
Mm.
So if a person's choice is to do Live in Your Design and then go and get a foundation reading and then go and study that for a while and then maybe do ABC, that's perfect.
Mm.
You know, it's not for me to be their authority. I don't want to be anybody's authority. I want people to be in their own authority. So if I'm working with an individual or groups or families, I get everybody to understand that, you know, be in your own authority.
I think that's a beautiful gift of human design is for people to learn to be in their own authority. Because really, I talk about how some people go to mediums, you know, in order to talk to spirit, where what I'm trying to do is teach people how to do it themselves because they need to decide for themselves what is right and what isn't right. Actually, absolutely. Whether you get the information externally or kind of through yourself, you still have to be discerning. Mm-hmm. And I love that human design, that's an important piece that you need to decide for yourself what is right for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do. I mean, we're moving into the time of the individual. We're moving out of the time of the tribe. And the only way that the individual is going to survive in the tribe or the collective is to truly come from their voice within. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything that I want my students to get in my Living Your Design classes, is to know what their voice within is, and then begin to touch it and feel it and embody it, rather than being in the mind, because it's so easy, and to cut out an expletive there, to be in the mind.
Right. And the mind is more attached to the ego, which has...
Exactly. You know, the not self. Yeah. It's what we call the not self. Mm-hmm. And it's not like the not self is bad or wrong or horrible, and we want to annihilate it. Like,
it's conditioned with things that are like limiting mm-hmm. us. And so we can, you know, that through like what I'm showing in the number of different healing modalities is, okay, we can recognize those and we can heal or transform them.
Exactly. Transform is the word, mm-hmm. you know, it's like heal the wounding, and then step into that aspect of transformation, anchor in the voice of truth, anchor in our authority, and then we literally transform all of those wounds into wisdom.
Oh, boy.
And that is what we do when we come from our authority, mm-hmm. because we are literally mutating every single one of those past experiences and shape-shifting our cellular structure.
So, wow, yeah. That's really incredible. So we're moving away from that tribal authority to more the individual authority. Mm-hmm. But some people might go, oh, now wait a minute, isn't that like being selfish? But maybe you can speak to this. It's not being selfish, is it?
No, right? To me, it's being self-aware.
Self-aware.
You know, there's the individual circuitry, and the individual is here to be themselves. Generators, which is 70% of the population, we are here to get to know ourselves. And every night we go to sleep and we get filled up overnight with this incredible life force. And every day we wake up and we get to create from it. Mm-hmm. And yet if we're a slave to society or to someone else's authority, we're not creating. And so what's happening is there's so many addictions around on the planet because we're not able to be having that life force flow through us in a way that's satisfying. Mm-hmm. So there's all this frustration out there, which means that people are drinking or, eating, et cetera.
Yeah, I think of it as self-anesthetizing when we have pain, and that pain being, you know, that we're not self-satisfying, or we have wounds that we aren't able to heal and transform. And, you know, gosh, what if we can get rid of all of that so that we can all, you know, be in our authority and honor
the world would be humming.
Wouldn't it just?
Absolutely humming. You know, it's like when the life force is alive, it's incredible. You know, a generator sits there with a plant and links in with the life force of the plant, and everything begins to pulse and glow and expand and just move in utmost beauty. But when we're looking at the plant and we're going, okay, you know, we got to put chemicals on here, we got to do this, we got to do that, everything just begins to die and disintegrate and become hard. Mm-hmm. So how do we move with our own authority to have that life force flow through us in a way that's satisfying, and our aura gets plumped with that satisfaction, mm-hmm. and everybody is being able to step into it? I mean, it's a really... To me, it's one of the most amazing gifts to surrender to ourselves, mm-hmm. That we can completely love ourselves and be present to all that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, help us. Wow. So kind of talking about like the actionable steps, you've talked about, mm-hmm. you know, doing your human design chart and having a foundational reading can be very helpful by a qualified analyst, and that there's classes you can take. Like I think the foundational one was Living Your Design. Mm-hmm. I know that you're teaching one coming up that actually starts very soon, but I imagine you'll have others.
Yes.
In the future.
Yep. I'm starting one Wednesday, and we haven't worked out the next dates for that. But I run them every three months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. And then even beyond that, there's like professional training for those who this really resonates with, and they really want to help bring it further out into the world. And so there's that, which can be found on the website that you were talking about.
Human Design America has got all of that there. Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, great. And then we were talking about like what you wanted people to really know. And there were three things that you and I had talked about earlier. There was a being in relationship with self, surrender to the vehicle, you spoke about a little bit earlier. And then that we are soul incarnated here to surrender to the journey for evolution. Can you talk a little bit more about that one, how to surrender for our journey for evolution?
Yeah, well, this is that getting out of the mind. You know, when we're making decisions from our mind, we're not surrendered. And so the more we're able to look at our body graph and see where we're defined versus where we're open, and come from a place of receiving through the openness and being in relationship with other as a soul who's here to transform and transcend and take all of these incredible learnings with us into the next life, then we're in that divine flow, right? And if we're not, then we're not. But we are a soul incarnate. And you know, I've often said this is the only life that's going to make a difference, because this is the life that I'm living. And so the more I'm able to be in this life, then that is everything I get to take with me. Not the accumulation of things, but the transformation of things.
Right. Yes. For those of us that believe in reincarnation, you know, it's never too late to learn, because we're always evolving our soul. And when we leave this material place, Earth, we take that with us, the evolution of our soul. And when we come back, we hopefully can start at that kind of same plane and continue growing further. So it's always helpful to keep growing and evolving.
We're on a spiral. We're on a spiral of evolution. And the more we get in this spiral, the more that we get to come into the next one at a higher level in the spiral. And that's uplifting everything on the planet.
Oh, and we need that. We need that. Yeah.
Love of self. Surrender. More love. More love. More love.
Yay. I'll ring that bell with you. I just like love, love, love. We need that. Golly. Well, Dia, I want to thank you for being with us today and sharing your deep knowledge of human design and your passion for it. I can see that you're passionate, not just because of your training, but you're living it. You're actually living this, and you know the benefit and the help of it. So I really appreciate that. And I'm grateful for all that you have shared with us today, kind of bringing to life what human design is with some clear examples of benefits for understanding it, and sharing the body graph visual so we have an idea of what that is, and links for how we can go forth and, you know, begin on this path ourselves if this is resonating with us, which it certainly is for me, because I want to live a happier and more authentic life. And I would like that for others as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Carrie. It's been a joy.
Yeah, and equally, it's been quite a joy. I'm so glad we've met. So I also want to thank all of our listeners who have tuned in today with open, curious, and receptive minds, eager to awaken their own personal evolution. So I challenge you to go forth and do what you can today to evolve and to better know yourself and love yourself. So please join me every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern. My next show will be on July 22nd, and we'll continue on the theme of a path to wellness, exploring effective healing modalities to assist us in the pursuit of our individual and collective evolution. The next episode, we will explore the healing modality of Psyche. So I'll see you back here next time, and until then, I wish you peace and good health.
You've been listening to A Spirited Exchange Radio with me, Carrie Gadombi, for Evolution of the Modern Mind.
Tune in live every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Together, we will awaken, heal, and connect to live our greatest potential. For more information or to connect with me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.